Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota and Keith. After months and months of waiting, after cancellations, after postponements, after everything in between, Maryland football returns Saturday night against Northwestern, 7:30 on the Big Ten Network as the Terps open their just conference season. No non-conference games. It will be a strictly Big Ten slate as we try to get through the entirety of the college football season, which, as I'm sure all Maryland fans have seen, has seen some stops and starts in conferences. We will see what happens with the Big Ten. And that brings us to our Terps football preview for this season. So much to talk about with this Maryland team in year two under Mike Locksley. A year two, we didn't even know if it would happen or not. And now it is, in fact, happening and starting on Saturday night. The biggest thing we have to start with, Keith, is the position that is the most important on a football team, and that is the quarterback spot. A training camp battle between Talia Tungavailoa and Lance Lejeune is not officially decided yet. Both of the guys have been in this competition the entire time. They are two, really, arguably the two most talented players Maryland has brought to the quarterback position in the last decade. There have been guys that have looked talented, Danny O'Brien, Kasim Hill, to name a couple, but these two guys have solid high school pedigrees. Obviously, Talia coming out of Alabama and transferred from there, that's nothing to sniff at. Lance Lejeune was on a Netflix show about his high school career. He comes from a very football-centric place in New Orleans. We talked to those guys a few weeks ago. Make sure to go back and listen to that conversation to get an insight on their relationship in the competition. But what do you see, Keith, from this quarterback spot? We don't know who it's going to be, but after talking to those guys and hearing a little bit about them, how do you feel about that competition as we head into Saturday?
Yeah, Taylor, I just look back to Mike Locksley's comments in his weekly press availability earlier this week. They talked to both of the quarterbacks and made their decision and told the team about it, something they're keeping close to the vest as a competitive advantage, obviously, before this first game. But it seemed, just hearing Mike Locksley's comments and just his take on it, that, you know, but both guys are going to, you know, see the field in some role in some way, throughout the season. You know, I think they're both too talented to leave out in different packages or situations and whatnot. But Locksley did say, you know, they're going to stick with, the decision that they made. It's not going to be a short lease or just, you know, pull the guy off the field after a couple of bad plays. You know, they want to have some consistency at that position, throughout the entire year, which, you know, hasn't always been, the case for Maryland football in years past. But just hearing Mike Locksley say that, hey, you know, both these guys are pros, they both handled the decision with grace, but it looks like they're ready to move forward and have that guy taking that snap under center on Saturday.
When you break both of those guys down, Talia seems like he brings a little bit more accuracy with his arm and a little less athleticism, whereas Lance, as we saw in his spot duty last year, ran the ball very well, and they were trying to kind of catch his arm up. He's got a very big arm, and you see that in the high school highlights. The funny part about both of these guys heading into the year, and you said holding them back as potentially a competitive advantage in terms of game planning, Northwestern doesn't know who they're playing. There's not a lot of tape to look back on for either guy. So even if Northwestern knew who it was, they're not looking at a lot of tape for either guy in college football, much less in Mike Locksley's offense. Talia Tungavailoa has played, really no snaps in it. and Lance Lejean played a little bit and didn't really throw the ball. So there's not a ton of tape to look at anyway. So not only is Northwestern fans and supporters and the coaching staff not sure what they're getting, I would say most Maryland fans and maybe even the coaching staff doesn't know what they're getting once it's in a game situation. Now, with that said, whoever quarterback it is has a very talented group of wide receivers to throw to, and you can see how deep that group is when you look at Maryland's two deep. The three starters listed are Brian Cobbs, Dante Demas, and Jayshon Jones. Dante Demas is the clear star of that group coming off a very good season. He is a potential NFL quality player with the measurables. Jayshon Jones will forever be remembered for his Texas performance the opening game of his freshman season. He is also very talented coming off an injury. And then our guy Brian Cobbs is just a very, very solid receiver and a good leader in that group. Below those guys, you have Carlos Carrier, who brings a lot of height at 6'5", and Daryl Jones, who's a solid player as well behind Jayshon Jones. But the real guy that everyone is talking about is Rakim Jarrett. We have seen the highlights from camp that have come out on our social media channels. He is by all accounts impressed and will see the field early. But it seems like this will be one of the strengths of the team, Keith. Talia or Lance are going to have a lot of guys to throw to.
Yeah, and I think Rakim Jarrett is that sexy pick that, you know, the five-star guy coming out of high school that kind of made waves with a lot of Maryland fans when he decided to commit to the University of Maryland. And it seemed to be, you know, impressive in camp just from our comments from our quarterback's interview and Brian Cobbs. But Dante Demas is that guy that really seems like he could have a breakout year, right? I mean, he just looks the part. He just has that tall frame, tall, slender frame. You know, he can kind of play all different facets of that receiver position. Running, strong routes, run for speed, run for power, whatever it is, you know, led the team in receiving with over 600 yards last season. And, seems like this could be that year. He puts it all together, gets some consistency at that quarterback position, is able to consistently get open, get down the field. Maybe this is that 1,000-yard season for a guy like Dante Demas. Granted, you know, you're playing a lot, fewer games. So maybe I shouldn't make that type of proclamation.
Oh, give it to him. Give it to him.
Maryland gets to a bowl game, but in a typical year, you would think that he's set up to have a season like that.
He averaged 15.2 yards a catch last year. So you would look at a guy 6'3" and not think that maybe the ball's getting thrown down the field. But we saw him win, on deep route situations last year, and he just needs more consistent quarterback play, and that's been really the Achilles heel for Maryland. Really over the past decade, you think back to, when that Stephon Diggs, Deion Long, guys like that, the quarterback play just wasn't consistent. And DJ Moore, and there's always been talented wide receivers. It's just a question of actually being able to get the ball in their hands. There may not be a more talented unit, especially if Jared is all he's cracked up to be heading into this year. He will be – the first time he catches a ball will be a big moment for Maryland fans this Saturday as sort of the Pied Piper of this new version of Mike Locksley's DMV and Maryland movement. Rakim Jarrett is really at the head of that. At the running back position, a couple veterans and a couple newcomers. Jake Funk and Mike Locksley confirmed it and was very adamant about it, is the lead back for this team after coming back from multiple injuries and always being a fan favorite and being a guy that was a leader in that room. And they had Anthony McFarland and Javon Leak last year. Now you're replacing a lot of yards. Leak 736 last year, Anthony McFarland 614, and Jake Funk and then Teyon Philippe Davis, who also comes back this season, will serve as those lead two guys. And then the two guys behind them are Isaiah Jacobs, the brother of Josh Jacobs, who plays for the Raiders. He may be on your fantasy football team. And then Penny Boone, who's a much bigger back. But I'm just really excited to see Jake Funk get this chance to be a lead back, a Maryland high school legend, who will get to lead the home school in his senior year. I think everyone on this team, I think a lot of people in this athletic department want to see that guy be successful with how he's carried himself throughout his career and how he gets that chance.
Jake Funk was one of the guys we talked to right before the season got canceled, back when there was a few days of camp getting put together in August, Taylor. And you felt for a guy like that, thinking, oh, man, like that this could be the end of his career. He could be moving on, graduating, moving on from football after this. But to have the season reinstated, to be able to play a Big Ten football season, for guys like Jake Funk to get that opportunity, you said it. Like, I'm just pumped. I'm excited for him to see him go out there and, get the lion's share of the carries, which it seems like it's it's setting up to be, for that running back position, for that running back group this season on offense. But hey, Fleet's one of our guys too, Taylor. I think he's a 3-time guest.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So, you know, you got to root for guys that are three-peats, in the HGT podcast room. So, he's a big back. You know, we've seen him wear teams down, like Syracuse last year. Remember him in that third quarter was just bruising, on that Syracuse defense that was already worn down and just able to chip away at the clock and chip away at that defensive group late in that game. And you figure, if he's in another role like that, where you can really wear teams down late in games, it's going to be big time for an offense that, what needs to be a little bit more consistent in sustaining drives than they were last year.
Yeah, the one thing the running back room lacks this year is a true, true breakaway speed guy. And Leak and McFarland both brought that to the room. Fleet, as you talked about, is a bigger back, same as Penny Boone, the freshman out of Detroit. And then Isaiah Jacobs has a nice pedigree, but we just haven't seen him play at this point. He's listed on the 2-deep as the backup with Fleet Davis. So you think he's going to get some carries early on and has some very impressive high school tape. There's just a little more uncertainty in that room than there was last year. And really the lack of maybe a home run hitter. No one's really an established home run hitter in that group. And Maryland, when they were good last year, it was a lot of explosive plays. And there's really not the guy you see that out of necessarily, but still a pretty solid room with Funk leading that charge there as leader of that group. One of the most, uncertain units, I think, going into the season is this offensive line group that sort of pairs a little bit of experience with a little bit of uncertainty. You look at this 2-deep, you have Jalen Duncan, who's very pretty talented at left tackle. Jahari Branch, who's a junior college transfer, slotted in currently as the starting left guard. Johnny Jordan, who has kind of been in and out of the lineup at center throughout the entirety of his career. And originally had jumped out and came back in from the season. And then Marcus Miner is firmly entrenched at that right guard spot. And then Spencer Anderson is a new starter at right tackle. An interesting group that I think Mike Locksley is going to want to see continued improvement from, because if we've seen anything in the Big Ten, it's that you've got to win in the trenches against these big defensive lines on the other side. It's a place that Maryland has really struggled with in its time in the conference. And Mike Locksley really looked to address that. It's just a question of, in recruiting, recruiting a lot of bigger guys, it's just a question of, that's a hard position to contribute with when you're just coming into college. And he's going to need to see upgraded performances from guys like Jordan, guys like Duncan, guys like Miner, if the Terps want to be able to run the ball or protect the quarterback. So that'll be an interesting unit to look at.
Yeah, after initially opting out, it's good to have Johnny Jordan back entrenched in that offensive line group just for the experience he brings as a veteran guy. And, to be honest, Taylor, Johnny Jordan and Marcus Miner are two of the only really, names that most Maryland fans will recognize in this offensive line group. So that's going to be one of the position groups I probably watch the closest on Saturday, just to see how they gel together, how they look in run blocking, how they look in pass protection. If they're able to buy some extra time for one of these quarterbacks who's going to be getting getting the not maybe their first start in LeJean's case, but one of their first opportunities early on in a college football season, how they're able to protect that person, keep them upright throughout the course of the game. So we'll definitely be, I think, something to look for in this
one. One of the big pieces of news for that Maryland offensive line is the return, will be return of Austin Fontaine, who opted back in literally right before we recorded the podcast here. Now the question will be, how long does it take to get him up to speed again? And what he was doing on the outside while he was opted out. Those are questions we just don't have the answers to, but he would be a guy that would slot in at one of those spots, potentially a really talented guy. DeMatha came in as a defensive lineman, switched to the offensive side of the ball, but a really big body and a guy they think has a lot of potential. So good news for Michael Oxley on that front as he heads into Saturday, but we'll just see when Austin Fontaine is actually able to contribute to this team. Switching it over to the defensive side, a lot of new names, especially across this defensive front. And we talked to one of them, Lautez Rogers, and we'll get to that in a second, but just a lot of uncertainty as well, really on both sides of the trenches, but specifically with this defensive line. It's just a group that you don't see a lot of names, if you're a Maryland fan. I think the transfer from NC State, Joe Bonapelli, will be a very competent pass rusher, played well at NC State when he was there and was a good addition. And then the couple of junior college transfers, including Amy Finau, who's a big body at the nose tackle spot, he's going to have to come in and contribute right off the bat for the Terps.
A transfer from Independence College, who some fans might know from the Netflix series, which is escaping me right now, Taylor.
Last Chance You, Keith.
Last Chance You. How did I not get
that? I don't know. That's a tough mess. That's a tough mess.
thank you for coming in and saving me there on the pod. But Lawtez has lauded those guys in his interview with us, just what they brought to the group, and said speed was one of the big things to look for, you know, for Maryland fans with that defensive line group. You know, thinks, hey, if you've got fast guys on the edge and, you know, in that unit, you're going to be able to create some havoc, create some problems for the guys you're going up against.
A guy I've heard good things about, and we'll see, is Darrell Shami, who is going to be a guy that is projected to start at the jack position, and is somebody I've heard pretty good reviews about. And we've heard, we talked to Lautez, we've heard really good things about Lautez's offseason as well. I think Maryland fans will enjoy that conversation when we get to it here in a couple of minutes. At the linebacker spot, a little bit more certainty there. Chance Campbell and AC Ely back as two of the starters in that spot at the Mike and the Will, the projected starters. I think Fonje Gote is a guy that's going to contribute as well. And then the exciting freshman is Ruben Hippolyte, who, you know, a lot of people came after, big name schools, and the kid from Florida stuck with his commitment to Maryland, and really looks the part at 6'1", 225. He looks like he's been in college for 3 years when you see him in person. And then Shaq Smith is a veteran guy that we're also anchoring that line. But, you know, Chance and Ace come back as a pair in the middle of that linebacking core, and I think they'll both be pretty good. Ace Ely is one of our favorite guys. So TEC has continued progression will be fun.
Yeah, an honorable mention, all Big Ten honoree last season, Taylor. Top returning tackler on the team with 79 tackles last season. So they're going to count on him, you know, filling those gaps again in 2020. So you expect to see his name called plenty of times in Evanston on Saturday.
No doubt. And I have to give a shout out always, Chance Campbell, Calvert Hall guy. Shout out. The secondary we end with here, and Nick Cross is a guy that Maryland fans were excited about coming into last year. Took him a little bit to get going. By the end of the year, looked like he is going to emerge into one of the best safeties in the Big Ten. An incredible talent, incredible athlete, a worker, who's a local kid. It's going to be fun to watch what Nick Cross can do. I think this unit has the chance to be very good. Deontay Banks is very talented on the outside, and then the reviews about JUCO transfer Jacorian Bennett have been very, very good. The depth behind those two starters at corner is a little more shaky. We've heard great things about Tar Heaps, still out of New Jersey, a true freshman, but he's a true freshman. So what are you going to get there necessarily? Levante Gator's a guy that played a lot last year as a true freshman who's going to get some time as well. One of the really great stories, underrated stories for Maryland football this year, is the return of Antoine Richardson coming off of an injury, and he will contribute as well. This secondary group is going to need to be good, especially if it takes time for that defensive line to get going. They may be in coverage for a while if those guys can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, it is great to see Antoine Richardson back in that two deep, Taylor, after missing all of last season due to that injury, and got to replace the departure of Antoine Brooks this year, who is a longtime friend of the pod. One of the first podcast interviews we ever did, Taylor, after the Texas win with Antoine Brooks. So a big name for Maryland to replace in that secondary group. But like you mentioned, Nick Cross, one of the most exciting names in as a freshman in you know, for freshman college football players last season. 2020 Althon Sports preseason All Big Ten. It was a honorable mention All Big Ten last season. So again, like I said with Ace, another guy whose name you're going to hear called hopefully plenty of times on Saturday.
For sure. And you touched on Antoine Brooks, and the other guy that they're really replacing as a leader on that defense is Keandre Jones, who so many people talked about as really one of the emotional tone setters of that defense, a guy with a ton of experience, a guy who won a lot at Ohio State. And we talked to Keandre. you know, at the end of last year as he was heading into the NFL draft. And he talked about how much he wishes he could still be there to see the continued progression of a lot of these guys that are now going to be thrust into big roles. It'll be interesting for a guy like that to watch this team and probably want to be out on the field so bad with those guys. But leaders are going to have to emerge on that defense to replace guys like Brooks and Jones. That's a really, really good point. That's kind of the breakdown. We just did like the coach at the press conference, just too deep. Run through right there. If you have
it's your crash course on Maryland football. Have time to read up on everything, you can listen to us for 20 minutes.
Right? Exactly right. And then the special teams, our guy Joey P, back at kicker, and then Pecorella and Spangler were 99 and 98. And I got to be honest, I can't figure out why they do that as the two punters on this team. I do think the we'll continue to see some of those wide receivers get chances at the kick return and punt return spots to be playmakers if they're not getting as much time on the field. So I think Mike Locksley certainly has some skill position players to get some things done with in both return games. And that's, as I said, kind of our overview of the Maryland 2D. If you look at this game specifically against Northwestern really quickly, a 3-9 team last year, a team that won one Big Ten game. Maryland has won 10 straight season openers. If you're Mike Locksley, you don't want to call any game at the beginning of the season a must win. This is a big game for Maryland. You want to start off strong in this weird season. And this is a team you feel like you can beat in the Big Ten to kind of get your momentum going, to get yourself feeling good about yourself, to go on the road and win any Big Ten game is big. To win that in the season opener will be bigger when you know Northwestern's going to be fired up to play. Nationally everyone is concerned about all the other games. This is a real kind of an intriguing game for both these teams in the conference.
It was funny, Taylor, we were joking around before we jumped on this podcast that the only known this season is the unknown. And you really just don't know what to expect, you know, coming into a start of a season in late October, where you haven't had the same access to training camps and coaches interviews and all of the media appearances that these teams and coaches do in a given year has just been reduced by such a large portion. So you just kind of are excited to watch, but you know, you really don't know. You kind of have to look back to how, you know, teams have past performed and, you know, how Pat Fitzgerald has run his program and run his team. And an interesting connection there, you know, Pat Fitzgerald was a graduate assistant here at Maryland under Rob Vanderlyn when Mike Locksley was an assistant coach. So those two have had, their relationship has kind of grown over the years. And now that they're both head coaches in the Big Ten and the meetings and things that they're involved in on a week to week basis. So be interesting, first time ever matching up as head coaches. So, you know, both, you know, have a familiarity with each other. What can they expose or exploit with the other guy that will show up on the tape on Saturday?
Also, the first time Maryland will have ever played in Evanston, and crazily enough, the first time Maryland will play as a road team in Illinois against a Big Ten school. They've never played at Champaign, and this will be the first time that the Terps have played in Evanston out there at Ryan Field. So pretty interesting there that nobody on this team has made that trip before, and they will look to get a win against Northwestern at 7:30 on Saturday. The one thing Northwestern does boast is an established quarterback, graduate chancellor Peyton Ramsey, played at Indiana last year, played very well for the Hoosiers. He will start this Saturday for Northwestern. One of the guys that's going to be trying to get to Peyton Ramsey is Lautez Rogers, our guest this week on the podcast, who a local kid is Eleanor Roosevelt High School, and is going to have to emerge on this Maryland defensive line where there is opportunity. If you are a defensive lineman at the University of Maryland, you have a chance to get on the field this season. Not a lot of established players that spot. And it was really fun to talk to Lautez, who's a great personality, and talked about how his mindset really changed and how he kind of looked at this time off as a huge blessing in disguise to kind of get his mind and body right, heading in to a big season for him as a college football player. We got into a bunch of other stuff as well. Find out if Tez wants to sing karaoke with us. The answer may shock you. Let's get to our interview with Lautez Rogers. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with Maryland defensive lineman Lautez Rogers. And Lautez, first of all, a week away now from opening kick, which after all the things you guys have gone through has got to be kind of crazy. Just how excited are you to get back out on the field next week?
I'm very excited. It's a dream come true. We've been working this whole year. at some points we were working with an unexpected date. And like, I mean, didn't know the date when we was going to return. We were just working, just trying to get better, hoping for a season. So now that it's finally here and all of our hard work's paid off, all the discipline off the field's paid off, like when it comes to like being safe during this time, like all that's paying off. And you can see like, we're all excited to be able to play. It's a dream come true right now.
Describe the experiences for you since the cancellation of spring camp through all of this stuff through the summer where you didn't know when you were going to play, where so much stuff is going on. For you personally, what has this journey been like?
It was an experience. Like we canceled. I remember we did a workout, and after the workout, we got the news that they canceled, that everything was shut down. And, you know, like we didn't start a spring ball. So I was like, how are we going to do this? So out of spring ball for me personally, over this time, I really invested my time, like surprisingly, into Peloton. And so my mentor, he uses Peloton and he told me about it. So I was like, okay, let me give it a shot. So I started using Peloton and I was doing the runs and I was doing the yoga and I did like, so they have like body weight workouts on there.
Yep.
So I didn't have like equipment in my house. Like all I had was like bands and like some small dumbbells, like, you know, like something you keep in your basement. So I'm using those in my Peloton workouts, push-ups and like the running, all of that to like keep in shape, just to like hoping that we still have a season. Just hoping that we still have a season. So like it was an experience, like especially not knowing when we're going to come back, not like uncertainty about everything is an experience.
So were you actually
I was doing the Peloton workouts too a lot of times. We're oh yeah, those bodyweight workouts were fantastic.
You guys should have been competing against each other, kind of trading workouts. Now, Lattes, were you doing the bike at all, or was this just the app with like the different workouts that they send you?
So I didn't have the bike. On the app, you have like different types of workouts. So they have like height runs, and then they have like body weight, then they have yoga, then they have meditation. And like I tried out a lot of different things, especially like when it comes to like yoga and meditation. I never really did meditation, but like I experienced it and I really like it. You know, it's peaceful and it like really helps you like mellow. But yeah, so I like it. That's some of the things I picked up over this time.
I love it. Lattes, Coach Locks has praised you guys for how you've handled your business with everything going on during the pandemic. How hard was it to keep the team focused and together during this period?
I think it wasn't too hard because I feel like everybody like on the team understood like this is something that we had to do. And it's something that we had to like we just had to adjust. Like we have a very, like one thing I really praise our team about is like, we really like over the span since I've been here, we've been able to adjust to a lot of like big things happening to this program. It's like this one, for example, like we were able to adjust and we all took the like the precautions and like the steps in order to keep our team safe to like just give us a chance to play. So same as Coach Locks, I praise the team for doing the same thing. I don't think it was too hard. So I feel like for the most part, we understood like this is something that we had to do.
For you specifically, we've heard from the staff, Coach Locks, how impressed they've been by your training camp and how much you've improved. Was there something you did coming into this season, and maybe it's some of that Peloton and meditation and mindset and different training that got you from where you were at the end of last year and for where you've been the first couple of years of your career to now, where you feel like maybe you're coming in as the best football player you've ever been?
One thing that I know for a fact that I did 100% is on my free time, I committed a lot of time to my body and like getting in shape. I think that was one of like I think I always had athletic ability. I always could do things, but I feel like one of my downfalls is my shape, like my endurance level and like things like that. So like on my free time, especially like this, that's a blessing in disguise to me. So like when we was over like this period of quarantine, like I would on a daily basis, like Monday through Friday, I would do something. If it was yoga, if it was go outside and do a couple miles, or if it was no body weight workouts, I would do something. And I feel like at the end of that period, I saw my body change, and I saw like the way I was moving change, and I felt different. So it was like, and then besides that, I think I really like when it came to the game, when it came to the game of football, and it came to like the way I approached my business when it comes to like coming in every day, doing what I had to do in a weight room, I took it a lot more seriously. Cause I feel like it's time for me to take it a lot more seriously. Like I'm at that point where it's like, I'm a leader on the team. People are looking up to me. I'm not the same guy looking up to people. People are looking up to me. So it's like, I'm leading the way for people. So if they see me like, you know, like always joking around and always like nonchalant, they might think that's okay. And it's like, that's not the culture that we're trying to develop at Maryland right now. So, yeah.
Well, it says after some departures from last season, it's going to be a brand new look across the D-line group this year. Break down your unit for Terp fans. What should they expect to see out of your position group this year?
We have a lot of speed. We have a lot of speed exterior. I think we are more capable, and we have more ability pass rushing. And I think I was really proud of our group. Like from like now, like you could see like the way, and like our coach says that you could see the way our group has changed from last year till now. And it's like, we're a more mature group. We get our business done. We handle our business. Like we like approach the game differently. It's like, I'm really just excited for our group. We have some people like two transfers. We have Mo and we have Ami. Both of those like Hawaiians, like two transfers, like everybody loves them. Like you can see like the way they just fit into our group. And like we have a different approach to the game. And I'm really excited.
You talked about it a little bit, but you now have to be a leader in that group. And what has that been like to change roles from a guy, as you said, that was, you know, looking up to others, to now being the guy that kind of has to set the tone each day in the meeting room and in the drills and out on the field? Has that been cool to sort of embrace?
It has been cool to embrace. Like me personally, I've never been that guy. I've never been the guy to like, I've never been the pep guy, like the one that gets everybody up. I've never been that guy. So like, I don't think I am that guy now, but what I am, I think I'm a better leader than I had before. Like in my actions, like just looking out for people, like making sure we're all doing what we're supposed to do. Like, I don't think I'm loud or I don't think like anything like that, but I feel like I embraced the role because I feel like I had a lot of departures, and that's when like I looked around one day and I was like, wow, like I'm the only guy that's still here. I'm the only guy that's still here. So it's like I embrace the role, and it's like I really love our group.
Tez, I don't think anybody would have blamed you or anyone for that matter for opting out of this season. You know, you've seen it across all levels of football, NFL, college, you know, high school, youth, whatever it is. Why did you want to play? You know, where does your passion and love for the game come for that just, you know, you were steadfast and I'm playing this year?
Why did I want to play? I feel like two things. So I definitely, like you said, like people are opting out for different reasons, but like the main reason is because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I truly understand that because it's like, it's your safety and it's what you put first. And like, I get that. But I think for me personally, why I want to play, I just really have a passion for the game. Like, I just really like, I can't sit and watch college football and know I could be out there and feel okay with that. Like, I just want, like, I always wanted to play since last year. Till now, I've just wanted to play. I think I have a lot to prove. I think I have a lot to prove. And that plus all the other things that I just want to play. And I just love playing. So having an opportunity to play, I can't pass on it.
Tez, when we had Brian Cobbs on this show, we asked him what he did better than anyone in the wide receiver room. And he said he had the best hands. What do you do better than everyone in everyone in your D-line group, whether it's on or off the field? What are you beating? Every skill are you beating all those guys in?
Hands down, I think I'm the best dancer. I think I'm the best dancer in the D-line room. You know, I was in the church growing up. So, you know, when the music came on in the church, you had to get your feet moving a little bit. And, you know, it picked up and footwork goes over from there to now. So, you know, I'm just a great dancer.
Now, we heard you sang in the church choir. Keith and I are big karaoke guys, like two of the biggest karaoke guys of all time. Would you be willing to sing with us? And what is your karaoke song you would bring to our group here?
Would I be willing to sing with you guys?
I think we got the way you just said that. I think we the got our answer.
I don't know about that. I might sing with
okay.
you guys.
Okay.
I am to sing a song, it would probably be. And I've never got asked this before. What genre are we going? What genre are we?
We only ask the tough questions. Whatever you want, we'll try to blend in with.
Tez, we're talking. You step up to the mic. You've got to sing a song. Whatever the setting is, like what's the go to? Like what are your best stuff? What any genre, any era? We need your best.
You got to bring down the house.
Bring down the house. You want me?
you already said you got the dancing and the singing combo. You're pretty much a double threat at this point. So I mean.
I never said I was a great singer. I said that because I used to sing in the choir. I didn't say I was good at it.
Neither are we. That doesn't mean we don't grab that mic.
I would probably say this is hard because it's like a lot of songs. Like what? So we did like a karaoke thing last season.
I remember that. Yep.
And I sung the little Candy Rain, the little Candy Rain song. If you know that song, a little Candy Rain. It's like an older 90s song. It's a 90s
I don't know.
Song. It's a karaoke song.
Soul for real, Candy Rain. Okay. We got some homework to do now, Taylor. We got to listen to this thing.
I sung Candy Rain. So like that was my go-to then. And I feel like that's just a classic song. They're like, you know, karaoke song. So I'll probably say that song.
I love it.
There you go. It's done. We have to learn it now, Keith. We'll have to.
Yeah. I mean, I've got something to do after this interview.
Get the Red Hot Chili Peppers out of here, Keith. You're learning.
No Phantom Planet for us, Mike.
No.
Tez, you're a local guy. Grew up right down the road. DMV guy. How much pride do you get playing for your home school, playing for your home state?
It's actually a dream. I always was a Terp guy. Like when I was younger, I probably went to one basketball game with like my brother's AAU team, and we sat in the nosebleeds of the basketball game one time. And it was like I've never been to a football game.
You saw what year you went to a basketball game?
It was like 2014, I want to say. It was who was the shooting guard that was really good on that team in 2014?
Dez Wells?
Jake Lehman.
No, he was like, I want to say Dez Wells. He was like a really good shooting guard that was on that team at that point.
Yeah, shooting guard. He's like a two or three, yeah.
Yeah, like 2014. Like, yeah, that's what I remember. But growing up in the DMV, like, I lived in Landover. And, like, where I lived, like, literally was right up the street from FedEx Field. So I will always see FedEx Field on my way to school. And I always just wanted to play in FedEx Field because that was like a dream come true. Like, so for example, when we got to play Texas in FedEx Field a couple years back, oh man, I was hyped. Cause I was like, wow, like I'm actually playing in FedEx Field right now. Like this is like with my football team, like that I'm proud to be on. So it was like, yeah.
I was going to ask you, what was it like to just like, what was going through your mind as you walked out on that field for the first time? Like, and you're not just playing any team, like you're playing Texas on the field that you could see from where you grew up. Like, that's wild.
It was really like, it was really like, it's a memory that I will remember for the rest of my life. Like, no funny, like, it's like one of those things, like, I really played in FedEx Field with my college team. And it's like, I literally every day on my way to school, I would see FedEx Field. So it was like, it's like actually like crazy how it played out. Now I'm playing in FedEx Field. So, but besides that, like at the time, it was just like, it was a great energy, great environment. Like we was really playing, we were playing that game. We dedicated to Jordan, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
So like, it was like, it was one of those things you just remember for the rest of your life. Like, it was like, yeah, I'll never forget that. Never get that day.
Sorry, Taylor. Tez, word on the street is you have a pit bull named Bruno. First question, where did that name come from? What was kind of the genesis of that? And second question, is Bruno the best pet on the team?
So Bruno stays with my mom. But whenever I go home, I see Bruno. But I lived with Bruno until I left to go to college. That was my guy. That was my dog. But when I left, he didn't come with me. He stayed with my mom because my mom, you know how moms are. So he stayed with my mom, but Bruno, the name, honestly don't remember. Like, I want to say I was in middle school when I got him, and we were thinking of just names, and I said Bruno. I said Bruno, and I think we just came up with Bruno. And because Bruno's the best pet on the team, that's tough. I don't know all the pets that's on the team. Like, I really love Bruno. To me, he's the best pet on the team because that's my guy. Like, that's
you gotta rep your dog.
Yeah, that's my guy. Like, he's the best pet on the team.
If you could, would you bring him on campus, or is that too much? If I could, I would.
But you know, they grew an attachment now that he's been staying there. So.
But for you, how cool is it to be, I mean, you know, you're a Maryland guy, so you're so close to home. How cool is it to be able to have your family around to support you in moments like playing at FedEx Field and being able to drive home and see your dog and all those different things? Yeah. Like, that's got to be a pretty cool feeling.
It is pretty cool. It's really cool. Like, especially like knowing like how excited she is to watch me play and like how that affects her and how happy that makes her. Like, that really like makes me happy. Like, you know, like especially like knowing that she gets to come. And like, I have a support system like that really cares about me and like look at my best interests like close, and I could like rely on like whenever I need them. Like, that's like a really good feel.
Tez, we'll get you out of here on a couple of rapid fire questions. First, the music you're listening to right now.
Music I'm listening to right now. You probably won't know it.
Try us.
There's like a PG County rapper. His name is No Savage. Like, I like No Savage. I like Gunna. Everybody likes Gunna, but you know.
Yeah, everyone. Like Gunna is the, yeah. I think he's the.
I like Lil Baby. I like this guy. He's a PG rapper. His name is Primo Rice. It's just like
I like you repping your PG County guys though.
Yeah, yeah, like, is No Savage on Spotify? Can I look him up right now? Is that a thing, or is he YouTube or something?
I see him.
I got him.
Oh, you're an Apple Music guy. He's an Apple Music guy.
He's on Spotify. All right. So Candy Rain, No Savage. We got some listening homework to do.
Yeah, we got some listening homework. That's why we brought Tez on the show.
Tez, shows you stream during quarantine, maybe some of your favorites.
My shows. Okay.
Shows.
Quarantine shows. Okay. So my girlfriend has been like, she would come over and she would put me on to these shows. But one show I never wanted to watch was what's the name of the show? Game of Thrones. I never was a Game of Thrones guy because I never was like that genre type of. So she used to come over and be like, just watch Game of Thrones. And I'd be like, nobody trying to watch Game of Thrones. So that's when like one day she turns on Game of Thrones and my eyes are glued to the TV. my eyes are like glued. I'm like, wow, this is such a good show. I would say like over the last, like this was like 2-3 months ago. Also, I've been watching Money Heist. I've been watching You. I think You. I've been watching. What else have I been watching? I've been watching some good shows. I've been watching Ozark.
Yeah.
You know, Ozark's good. Great one.
Ozark's very popular. Ozark. Yeah.
Watch that. I've finished season three. Yep.
Yeah. I watched season three. My favorite one out of all of them is Money Heist, though. I really like Money Heist.
Yeah.
Have you seen Money Heist?
About that.
I have not finished it. I need to kind of wrap that one. I need to get back into that one.
Also, my favorite show, which I like binge watch all the time when I get bored, when like especially during quarantine, Impractical Jokers. Have you ever heard of Impractical Jokers?
Impractical yes. Jokers. A favorite of my roommate.
Favorite show, and I can watch it all day.
Is that where they like they have to do challenges to like mess with people or whatever? They like make guys do random.
Yeah, stuff. It's like a lot of man on the street, and they have to go.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of that show.
Yeah, so I'm glad I'm the only one that watches it.
My roommate is constantly watching. I will walk down from my room, and that show is on all the time. Your football hero.
Football hero, Sean Taylor.
Oh, very good.
Sean Taylor. From the Washington football team now with the Washington Redskins, yeah. Sean Taylor. Always growing up, like I was a big Redskins fan, like especially like since I was right down the road. And that's when like Sean Taylor was like the big hitter everybody was excited about. He came into the league. He was like a Pro Bowler his second year, I want to say. Like he was like, boom. He was like, everybody was psyched about Sean Taylor. Then like what happened, like that was tragic. So like, I always like before my games in high school, I haven't done it as much in college, but like some games, before my games, every game in high school, I would watch Sean Taylor highlights. I would watch Sean Taylor's highlights and I really like it was like a ritual. Every game I would watch Sean Taylor's highlights.
Good so, mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. All right, Tez, we ask everybody this. We wrap up these interviews. Favorite place to eat in College Park?
Favorite place to eat in College Park? That's tough. That's tough. So, like, you mean like favorite, like best tasting, or like my go-to?
I mean, give us both. Like, what's kind of where are you going? If it's free reign, if you got anywhere to choose, like, what's going to be the number one choice?
Anywhere to choose, I really like Borden Brew's breakfast. I really like Borden Brew's breakfast, and I would say. One place that I went to one time, my girlfriend took me there. It was this place called Hanami across the street from the Varsity in that little shopping center.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's called Hanami. It's like a teriyaki, not teriyaki. What's the place where they like the rice and the shrimp, like they have rice and shrimp.
It's like a hibachi.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
It's a hibachi restaurant. That's when like, I really, yeah, it's really good. I'll probably say that's number one. Then I'll say Borden Brew's number two. And I'll just throw Chipotle in there because I always go Chipotle.
Right. Wow.
So
there you go.
That's just a standard.
I think for everyone.
Yeah.
A lot of options given by Latez. By the way, a smart man who's mentioned his mom and his girlfriend in this interview. That's how you get points from the two ladies in your life right there. Latez Rogers, thanks so much, man. We can't wait to watch you guys get back out on the field and appreciate you giving us some time.
Thank you. Hey, guys, have a good day.
All right, you too, Latez.
Appreciate it, man. Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Keith, awesome to talk to Latez Rogers heading into Saturday. Didn't sound like he really wanted to sing with us. But, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, three's a crowd, right? We just need me. That's all we need.
And plus, yeah, we're kind of an established duo. If you're in the Baltimore College Park karaoke, you've probably seen me and Keith busting out Phantom Planet by California. You know, we probably got a couple other under our sleeves once, you know, people are allowed to sing again at bars and stuff like that. So, you know, Tez can do his own thing and the Sned and Smythe karaoke stuff will come back. And maybe we'll put that stuff on Hear the Turtle at some point when we really run out of things to talk about.
We're trying to get more people to subscribe to this podcast, not less.
That's a great point. That's a great, great point. And I can't even respond to how bad people might think our karaoke is. I think our karaoke is good. Yeah, you're right though. You're right that maybe people would not want to listen to it. With that said, one of the things released this week, Keith, that is big to you and your heart is the One Maryland app. Which is your guide to Maryland athletics and sports and all those different things. And one of the things you have brought to it, Keith, and you're in that big brain of yours in that head that I see across Zoom right now, is the Terps Game Day Pick'em Contest. Break down the contest, Keith, and then we will give the answers.
Well, Taylor, if you're listening to this now, you'll get a sneak preview at the five questions that will show up in your One Maryland app on Saturday morning. You can make your selections all the way up until kickoff. Five questions of what's going to happen in this Maryland Northwestern game. So Taylor, I'll run them down with you, and I'll just kind of get your gut reaction, your gut pick, what you think is going to go down, and we'll go from there. So we'll start it off right here. How many yards will Maryland rush for against Northwestern? 100 or less, 101 to 150, 151 to 200, or 200 plus, Taylor?
Well, we talked about it in the preview earlier, which everyone can check out earlier in the show on Hear the Turtle. Jake Funk getting the lead role, Fleet behind him, little thunder and lightning there with Jake Funk and Teyon Fleet Davis. I think ultimately this is going to be a balanced Terps offensive performance, and I think those two guys combined to run between 101 and 150 yards. But I think it's back towards the end. I think they're up around, like, you know, 148, like 140, like right around that 150 number. But I think the Terps are going to throw the ball pretty well this weekend, so I don't think they pop above 150. So I'm kind of hedging there a little bit.
Okay.
I'm between B and C, but I'll say that 101 to 150, and they kind of balance out a potent Terps passing attack.
Taylor, last season, Maryland four times against Big Ten opponents, they were between 151 and 200 yards, and they had actually had one game at 149. So they're right in that sweet spot. You're right in that sweet spot there based on last year's performances. Different running backs, different situation, but still take that with a grain of salt. Taylor, how many sacks will the Maryland defense register on Saturday? 0, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, or 5 plus?
This is an inexperienced Maryland defensive line. I think it takes them a little bit to get going in the season, and I think they register either one or two. I will say B again. I think Northwestern will protect Peyton Ramsey pretty well.
Season high in Big Ten play was 3 sacks last season. So, hey, fingers crossed the Terps are getting 3 more, a little more consistently. Maybe we're getting to the 4s and the 5s plus by season's end. Taylor, how many receptions will Maryland wide receivers make in the second half? 4 or less? 5 to 8, 9 to 12, or 13 plus?
I struggled with this a little bit, Keith. We don't know who's going to be behind center, whether it's Talia or Lance. We don't know what the game's going to look like in the second half. These are why you come to me for these picks. I think the Terps are going to be in a close one, and I think Michael Axe is going to be tossing the rock, and I think it's between 9 and 12 completions, and I think it's going to be on the higher number. I think it's going to be, once again, 11 or 12. But I think it's going to be pretty split. So I'm going to go with that 9 to 12 number for the Terps. I think they're going to complete some passes in that second half as they come out with a win.
All right, Taylor, how many turnovers will the Maryland defense force? 0, 1, 2, or 3 plus? Before you answer, I'll just let you know, 8 interceptions and 2 fumble recoveries in Big Ten play last season, and the Terps managed 3 turnovers in their final game of the season versus Michigan State.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one. I know Mike Loxley wants me to say either 2 or 3 plus, because that means that the Terps are playing well defensively, getting those offensive opportunities. I think Northwestern is going to play a pretty solid game here. So I think the Terps are able to force 1 turnover, and I'm going to give it to the star. I'm going to say a Nick Cross pick.
Ooh.
Is the Terps' 1 turnover this weekend, yep, which will be enough to end up getting it done.
Last but not least, what will be the winning team's margin of victory? 1 to 7, 8 to 14, 15 to 21, or 22 plus, a blowout in Evanston?
I think Northwestern is a well-coached team. I think Pat Fitzgerald's a very good coach. I think that they're going to come out playing strong at home, first game, coming off everything. They've lost some guys. They're going to play inspired. But Mike Loxley's boys have got a statement to make, Keith. They've got a statement to make. And that statement is going to be a touchdown plus victory on the road against Northwestern. I say it's a 10-point win. So we are saying B between 8 and 14 as the Terps. I'll give you the number. I'll give you the number as the Terps win 30 to 20 against the Northwestern Wildcats.
Wow.
Put it on the board.
We have not typically been a, you know, predict the score show, Taylor, but I like it. We're evolving. We're
evolving because of the One Maryland app, and we will preview every pick'em each week on this show. So if you want to win the Maryland prize pack, you should listen to this show, because otherwise you're not winning that prize pack because you're not listening to our answers. So that's just the bottom line. That's the matter of the fact and the fact of the matter. There it is.
I think you've got some solid selections there, Smith. We'll see how you do. Make sure you get those selections in on Saturday morning. So this thing drops 8:30 a.m. and rides all the way up until kickoff.
And you've got no excuses because the game starts at 7:30.
So you've got free to play, free to enter.
It's free to play. And guess what else it is? It's free to download. And you should go to the App Store or what do people with Androids go to? The Google
Play Store.
Yeah, that's garbage. If you have an Android, whatever. But go to Google Play and still download our app. Sorry to all the Android people out there, including our great graphic designer, Jake Rose, who needs to get an iPhone. And we'll just say that publicly right here. Download the app. There's other stuff on there. Terps Trivia, they run that throughout the week. If you download this first week, you have the chance to be entered to win a signed ball from Brenda Fries, Michael Loxley, or Mark Turgeon. So that is another thing. And there will be offers and exclusive content and things like that throughout this app's existence. So make sure, if you're a big Terps fan, you got to have the One Maryland app. And really just do it for Keith, who's worked so hard on it. Over this last week.
If you're saying I'm working hard, I'm just going to take that to the bank. Let's not even fact check that. Let's just take Taylor's word for it.
No doubt about it. The people could listen to me on that. So a big week here in Maryland athletics as football begins again. We have a Maryland sporting event to watch on Saturday night, Keith. Hallelujah. Sports have been back for a long time now, but to finally get that Terps red, white, black, and gold on the field will be fantastic. And it'll be great to see Mike Loxley and his boys get after it on Saturday night. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels here on Hear the Turtle, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Thanks again to LaTez Rogers. We'll have Specialized on him on Saturday night for joining us. Thanks to all of our football guests that we've had as we've gone through this time, including Mike Loxley, way back at the beginning of quarantine, came on with us and talked to us about all the challenges they were facing. And now the fruits of that labor will come. Follow Keith at Sneds311 on Twitter. You can follow me at TaylorSmite10. For all your football things, follow at Terps Football on all of those platforms. Terps FB on TikTok, if you're a TikToker. But on all the platforms to get all the things as we head towards Saturday night. And we'll see you next time on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps!